Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson. In this one, we're going to build a classic old-school drum and bass shuffle riser by resampling a chopped breakbeat and shaping it into something with crisp transients, dusty mids, and that gritty, urgent jungle energy. Think of it like turning a simple drum loop into a transition tool that feels alive, raw, and genre-authentic. This is a really useful technique, because old-school DNB and jungle get so much of their power from broken drums being repitched, filtered, saturated, and reprinted into a new texture. So instead of reaching for a generic synth riser, we're going to make our own from drums. That gives us more movement, more attitude, and a sound that actually belongs in the style. Let's start with the source. You want a drum loop that already has some character. Ideally, it should have a solid kick and snare pattern, some swan hats or ghost notes, and maybe a little room tone or vinyl dust. A classic Amen style loop works great, but any shuffled drum break can work as long as it isn't too muddy in the low end. If you don't have a break sample, you can build one from a kick, snare, closed hat, rimshot, or shaker. The key is that it has a broken rhythmic feel, not a straight loop. A good target tempo is somewhere around 165 to 175 BPM. That sits naturally in drum and bass territory and helps the shuffle feel energetic without being too slow. Once you've got your loop, drag it into an audio track in Ableton Live 12. Open the clip view and turn warp on. For a punchy drum loop, beats mode is usually the best choice. It keeps the rhythm tight while preserving the attack of the transients. If the loop has lots of tonal material mixed in, you could use Complex Pro, but for old school shuffle, beats is usually the move. In beats mode, try preserving around 1/16 or 1/8, and keep the transient settings fairly high so the hits stay clear. The goal is to keep the loop rhythmic, but not so locked down that it loses its human swing. If you overwarp it, the groove starts to flatten out. Now let's find the best section of the loop. For a riser, you want a fragment that has a strong snare, some hat movement, and a little tail after each hit. A one-bar section is great for a subtle build, and a two-bar section gives you more room for tension and movement. You can work with simpler if you want to trigger slices, or you can stay in arrangement view and chop the audio manually. A simple beginner-friendly approach is to duplicate the clip, trim it down, and split it with CMD or Control plus E until you've got the most interesting rhythmic pieces. Now comes the shuffle feel. The old-school vibe is not just about the sound, it's about the motion. So copy your chopped loop across one or two bars and let it breathe. Don't put everything perfectly on the grid. Offset a few hits slightly early or slightly late. Leave some tiny gaps. Maybe repeat a snare or hat near the end to intensify the build. You can also open the groove pool and try a light swing groove, something like an MPC-style 16 swing. Keep it subtle. In drum and bass, too much swing can make the part feel lazy. We want it to still drive. Now we're ready for one of the most important steps, resampling. Create a new audio track, set its input to resampling, arm it, and record your chopped loop in real time. This is where the magic starts. Resampling commits the groove, prints the sound as audio, and gives you a fresh texture to process. It also helps the part feel more authentic, because now it's a printed piece of audio instead of just a loop playing back. Once you've recorded it, you can shape it like a new sample. First, let's get the transients crisp. On the resampled track, start with EQ8. If this riser isn't supposed to carry low end, put a gentle high pass somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. Then add a little presence around 2.5 to 5k Hz to help the snare and hats cut through. If the sound feels boxy, you can cut a bit around 300 to 500 Hz. After that, add drum bus. Keep the drive moderate, the crunch low to medium, and push the transient control a little so the front edge of the hits pops. Boom should usually stay off or very low for a riser, unless you specifically want extra low punch. For this kind of build, we're aiming for attack, not sub weight. Next, add saturator. Try analog clip or soft sine, give it a few dB of drive, and turn soft clip on if needed. This adds density and makes the transients feel more urgent, without making the loop fall apart. Then finish that section with glue compressor. Keep it light. A ratio of 2 to 1, a medium attack, and only a small amount of gain reduction is enough. We want the chops to glue together, not get flattened. If you overcompress, the transient detail disappears and the riser loses energy. Now let's bring in the dusty mids. This is where we give it that worn sampler, tape loop, old school grime feeling. Add redux next. Don't go crazy here. A little downsampling and a touch of bit reduction is enough to add grain and vintage texture. The idea is not to destroy the sound, just to rough it up a bit so the mids and highs feel more aged. After redux, use auto filter. A band pass or low pass sweep works really well for this kind of riser. Start with a cutoff fairly low, maybe around 500 Hz, and automate it up toward 10 to 14 kHz over the build. A little resonance can make the rise feel more exciting, but don't overdo it. Then add a little reverb, but keep it short and controlled. A decay around half a second to a second and a bit, with the low end filtered out, can give the riser some space without washing away the groove. We want dust, not a huge smear. Now it's time to automate the build. Over one or two bars, slowly open the filter cutoff. Increase saturation a little as the riser progresses. You can also bring in a bit more redux near the end for extra grit, and maybe raise the reverb slightly on the final beat. A small volume lift can help too if the riser needs more impact. If your sample responds well, a subtle pitch rise on the last hit or two can be really effective. Even a tiny amount of pitch movement can make the whole thing feel more tense and more ready to drop. A good old-school build often feels a little uneven, not perfectly smooth. That's important. A sampler being pushed to the edge sounds more exciting than a sterile, perfectly linear ramp. So don't be afraid to let the automation feel a little raw. Now add some micro edits to make it more alive. In the last half bar, you could reverse a snare tail, duplicate a hat hit for a stutter, mute the kick for a beat, or retrigger a small chopped fragment with simpler. One really classic move is to repeat the last snare or hat 3 or 4 times, making each repeat feel a little more urgent. That kind of tightening motion pulls the listener into the drop. If you want even more movement, you can make a second, dirtier version of the same riser and layer it underneath the cleaner one. The cleaner pass gives you transient definition, and the dirtier pass gives you age and texture. That layered approach is super effective in drum and bass. You can also use utility to control stereo width. Keep the low mid centered and let the top breathe a little. If the dirty layer starts to clutter the mix, narrow it down slightly. The goal is for the riser to punch through without fighting the bass that comes in after it. Here's a simple arrangement idea. For a 2-bar riser, the first bar can stay mostly dry and rhythmic. In the second bar, open the filter, add more saturation, and brighten the sound. On the final beat, throw in a quick stutter or reverse hit, then let the cutoff open fully right before the drop. When the drop lands, cut the riser hard so the impact feels clean and deliberate. That kind of transition works great before a rolling bassline, a drum fill, a halftime switch, or the drop back into the main section. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make it too clean. Old school shuffle should feel a little worn and imperfect. A bit of saturation, redux, and warp character is part of the vibe. Second, don't overcompress it. Too much compression kills the transient energy and makes the riser feel flat. Third, don't drown it in reverb. If the shuffle gets washed out, the whole point of the breakbeat disappears. Fourth, don't let the low end build up. A riser usually should support the drop, not compete with it. High pass it sooner than you think if necessary. And finally, don't automate everything perfectly smooth. Tiny rhythmic changes often sound more exciting than a clean, generic sweep. Here's a great beginner practice exercise. Take a 1-bar drum loop at around 170 BPM. Warp it in beats mode. Chop it into 4 to 6 pieces. Resample the chopped groove to audio. Then add EQ8, drum bus, saturator, auto filter, and redux. Automate the filter upward across the bar and add one stutter at the end. Bounce it and listen in context with a kick, snare, and bass drop. If you want to push yourself, make 2 versions, one cleaner and more transient focused, one dirtier and more lo-fi. Then compare which one hits harder before the drop. So that's the workflow. Choose a break with character, warp it properly, chop it into a tight shuffle, resample it, enhance the transients, add dusty mid-range grit, automate the build, and arrange it like a real drum and bass transition. That's how you turn a simple old-school drum loop into a riser that feels alive, gritty, and fully in the genre. Once you get comfortable with this, you can make endless variations for fills, breakdown lifts, and drop transitions. Now go print a rough version. Trust your ears and let the drums do the talking.